And what God is really saying is, verse 7, don't worry, they will try, verse 6 says, don't worry, they will try to invade you and to actually change the king, to put someone name, someone like Tabal, they will try to replace you, Ahaz, with him. But this is what the sovereign Lord says, verse 7. This is what really matters. And these are the words of God. It will not take place. It will not happen. That's what God is telling Ahaz. Yes, they are plotting against you. They are planning. They are speaking against you. But these are my words. It will not take place. It will not happen. Now you can see the conclusion of the prophecy of Isaiah to Ahaz in verse 9. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. God is telling Ahaz that unless he puts his faith in God, and what God has said is going to happen, and what God has promised to the house of David that is going to happen, unless he just put his faith in him, then he will have to give way to fear. But if he firmly believes in what God is doing, if he firmly believes that God is actually more powerful, more trustworthy than the nations, then no matter how desperate the situation, he can be well with God. God can save him. God can bring him hope. Because there is a king in the throne, like the one in Isaiah chapter 6, and he can bring salvation and hope. And in this crucial hour for Ahaz, when he has to decide, am I going to trust in God, or am I going to put my trust in other nations? At this crucial hour, God is telling him, I am the sovereign one. Who are you going to trust? And I think that talks to us very well. I'm sure you find yourself in a place where you have to take a very difficult decision, or maybe in a place where you're just struggling, or even in a place where your faith is actually struggling. And the nations outside are calling you and saying, if you put your faith in us, on the things of the world, you're going to be happy. And God appears again and tells you, I am the sovereign one, the one who conquers everything, the one who rules over everything. And he comes again and say, maybe this works to us. Be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. And when God is speaking to us, like he does to Ahaz in his mercy, we have to listen. Because the words of this sovereign God are more important than anything in this world. And again, the call is, stand firm in your faith. Don't do an Ahaz. Don't be like Ahaz. That's the first thing. That's the first part of the words of Isaiah to Ahaz. But there's the second part, and this is the number two things I want you to have in your mind today. Ahaz's unbelief doesn't stop the sovereign God from bringing salvation and hope to his people. Ahaz's unbelief doesn't stop the sovereign God from bringing salvation and hope to his people. There seemed not to be any reaction on behalf of Ahaz. of Ahaz yet. He hasn't said anything yet. So God takes Ahaz like a step farther, and he tries this. Verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also?" And God is trying to do something marvelous here. And just have a think on this. If God will appear here and will tell you, "Ask me whatever sign you want for you to believe that I am able to save you, to help you, and to bring you hope," what sign will you ask? What sign would you like to see? A new car? A new something material? A World Cup, a football World Cup, a rugby World Cup? Or maybe something related with the church? A church change? What would you ask as a sign to know that God can really help you and can really do something for the problems you have? And that's what God is doing with Ahaz. Is Ahaz going to take his opportunity to ask whatever he wants to the Lord of the universe? Of course not. He's not going to do that. But God is offering him because he wants to prompt his faith. He wants to encourage his faith. He wants to bring him back from his idolatry. Ahaz wasn't a good king. He was a wicked king, according to the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles. He burnt offerings to other gods, and he was far away from God. But God, see God, how is he looking for him? He's trying once and once again, sending the prophet, telling him really nice words, and also taking up to the last step to say, "Hey, believe in me, I can do whatever you want, but come back, trust in me." And we can think, why is God doing that with this wicked king that actually doesn't care about what God does? Why God is like that? And it's because that's the kind of God we have. The sovereign one, the one who is seated in the throne, is the same one who tells us to not fear, to not lose heart, and sometimes tell us, come back, to not lose your faith. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God that rules the universe for us. It's a good God. And he's doing that with Ahaz. Of course, as we read, Ahaz says, "No, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test." And those words sounds very pious. It sounds like very holy. It sounds like Christian language. He's like quoting from the Pentateuch and saying, "No, actually, no, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test." But God is asking him to do it. And Isaiah reacts against him. And he says, "You are testing the patience of God, not only of human beings." What Ahaz is doing is something we sometimes do as well. And he's using even Christian language to shield ourselves from the things that God is talking to us, or the things that God is calling us to repent. He's putting a shield with Bible verses so that the word of God wouldn't touch him. And that's how our hearts can act sometimes. because I know so much of these verses, I know them so well. Well, I can just take them, take all my knowledge, put them in the face of a shield, and just put it in front of me, and whatever others tell me, it doesn't matter, because I know best, and I know the Bible. And Ahaz is doing that. As I was thinking of that, I was like, wow, that's so true. When someone comes to me and tries to tell me something, and in my Bible mind I try to figure out the way of escaping from his advice or escaping from what they are telling me, I'm using Ahaz's strategy and making a sheet of Bible verses so that I don't have to believe, so that I don't have to bother with God's advice, with God's counsel. And that's what Ahaz does. His supposed holiness is just a shield or a mask for his unbelief. He seems really spiritual, but he is not. And here it comes, the parts of the prophecy that we know the most. Verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your fathers a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Because God is a sovereign God that loves his people, he decides to give him a sign anyway. And it's a sign of hope, but it's a sign of judgment at the same time. God decides to bring a new child with a name, same as the first child that had a name and had a message. Now another child that has a name. And this name, in this case, is Emmanuel. And the meaning of the name of this child is God with us. And when we think in this sign, we can realize that the message and the meaning of this sign is quite straightforward. He is telling, God is with you. So it doesn't matter that Assyria is coming for you. It doesn't matter that northern Israel and Syria are plotting against you. It doesn't matter, because God is with you. You can trust in him. And it's a message of hope in that way. And as we found it, and as we find it in the New Testament, it is still a message of hope. But for Ahaz in particular, it's a message of judgment. Because this sign will bring times, even darker times, for Israel than the ones that they suffered after the kingdom was split in two. Because, as we read at the end of verse 17, he will bring the king of Assyria. And that is the judgment. The judgment of God against Ahaz is that in the nations that Ahaz put his trust, those same nations are the ones that are going to destroy him. The things that are against God, the things in which he put his faith, at the end will destroy him. Which again is a great lesson for us. Isn't that true? When we replace God with whatever, those things can still kill our souls and destroy the things that we trusted the most, end up destroying our lives. The child is bad news for Ahaz, but good news for his people in those times. And good news for us, Christians and God's disciples, Jesus' disciples, because we read in Matthew that that child, that Emmanuel, that God with us, has a name in the New Testament, and this name is Jesus. So it was a great news. It was great news for Israel, for Judah, knowing that God, the sovereign one, seated in the universe, was with them. But that wasn't all. There was more. The same God took the form of a baby, came in the form of a human being, and was born as a human. That baby named Jesus is now Emmanuel. And you know what? The same question remains for us today. Is this child good news or bad news for you? Is it good news because you put your trust in him? Or is it bad news because, as Ahaz, you have rejected the Lord and you have rejected his sign? The same sign for Ahaz is a sign for us today. The miracle of the sign is that God was made flesh and came in the form of a man 2,000 years ago named Jesus. And that sign is calling you to believe. And if you are a Christian, we have the privilege of knowing that for us, wherever we are gathered, two or three, God is with us. His presence is with us. And we got the blessing of knowing that the Holy Spirit is in us, dwelling in us. And we got the blessing that this sign of Jesus in the flesh is not something that is going to stay in the past, but it's something that is going to come and we're going to see again. So whatever you're going through, read these words. Be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. Because Emmanuel is here and God is with us. Let me just finish with a quote by Ian Dewitt, reflecting on this, on how this will not just stay here in our present to help us today, but it will go up to the last day. He says, In that day, God will no longer be worshipped here and there, wherever two or three are gathered in the name of Christ, as strangers and aliens in a world which is not their home. There, he will be worshipped permanently on the heavenly mountain by the whole community of saints of all times and places, along with the heavenly host of angels and archangels. There will be no more sin to be atoned for, no more weakness of the flesh to be mortified, no more forces of the evil one to be resisted. Only the people of the King of Emmanuel gather in the presence of the King to worship the King forever. That is our hope, the presence of Jesus forever at the end. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word and the prophecy for this King Ahaz. We pray that we wouldn't be like Ahaz. And if we are, we pray that you will bring us back with these words of yours that we read today. and if our faith is trembling and fearful and maybe getting empty, I pray that you will remind us through this sign of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. Even in this season, you will remind us that he has come to save us from our sins and to be with us as the protective God he is, as the loving God he is. We pray that we will remember him and worship him during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.